This is Herb Montgomery, Director of Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free, even our seminars that we do in various venues. So if you'd like to help us keep doing what we do, I'll tell you how you can do that at the end of this podcast. For now, it's our hope that you will just simply enjoy this podcast as our gift to you. This is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I'm going to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Our feature text this week is Mark 16, verse 6, where it says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." The title this week is Humanizing the Monsters, and tomorrow is Halloween, so let's talk about that first. Halloween has roots that I want to discuss this week, and those roots are in Western Christian tradition of All Saints Day or All Hallows. And in the Eastern Orthodox community, Christians celebrate All Saints Day actually on the first Sunday after Pentecost during the spring. They don't celebrate it in the fall. But in the West, the West has observed it on November 1st, and that's been done ever since the 8th century CE, which makes October 31st its Eve, and thus All Saints' Eve, or All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween, as pronounced by the Scots. And over time, Halloween, in that transition, moving it from All Saints Eve, transisting, moving it from the spring to the fall, it became influenced by Gaelic and Welsh harvest festivals and traditions and folklore. And it's important to keep the Celtic fall festivals and the Christian Halloween separate in our thinking. They're related, but they're not the same. The way that we celebrate them today, the way that we celebrate Halloween today, is very much influenced by Celtic fall festivals, but originally it was part of a Christian All Saints Day. And in these festivals, humanity's fascination with fear and the fear of death especially is invoked. And whether we're memorializing the lives of saints who have died in the spring or the fall, or Celtic fall festivals marking the transition from summer to winter, we're tracing the transitions from light to darkness, from plenty to lack, to paucity, or from life to death. And humanity and death, let's talk about that for a moment. Death is at the heart of all of our discussions about morality and ethics. Those things that lead to life, those are seen as good and right, and that which leads to death is seen as evil or wrong. And our entire moral compass as a race is at baseline dictated by how certain behaviors relate to life or death and the continuance of humanity or its end. And historically, religion has held out hope for one of two things: either some type of existence beyond death, like the Egyptian religion or Christianity or Islam, or a more mystical resignation with death, like Buddhism or ancient Judaism. In the Jesus story and the resurrection, if we think about that for a moment, the resurrection is the most potent force. It was the most potent force in the early Jesus movement. The original followers believed that they had witnessed Jesus, whom the status quo had executed. They had witnessed Jesus being alive again, and it was his resurrection event that liberated them from the fear of death. And because of that event, they could stand up to the domination systems and the threats of execution that those systems held over their head if they stepped out of line, because death had become a conquered enemy. And notice how the letter to the Hebrews in true apocalyptic fashion states this: "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." death. These early Jesus followers could stand up against the violence, the injustice, and the oppression of earthly principalities and powers, whom remember, they viewed as conduits of cosmic evil powers, because they no longer feared death. They no longer feared what these earthly powers could do to them. And through Jesus, death had been overthrown, and if his followers were executed by the domination systems as their Jesus had been, they believed that they would also follow him in being resurrected at the time of universal restoration. You can find that in Acts 3:21, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, and 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 23. As a side note, I also find it interesting and fascinating when humanists and secularists who don't believe in life after death but are resigned about death, they're still willing to lay down their lives unselfishly for those who may come after them. The gift of their life is genuinely selfless. There's no resurrection in their thinking, but it's given purely for the betterment of others. Some researchers think that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. may have been such a humanist in his later years. But I want to talk to you mostly, with all of this as background this week, that the focal point is the title, Humanizing Monsters. And regardless of how we arrive at that point, from my own experience, being liberated from one's fear of dying is a breathtakingly beautiful thing, especially when it has the potential to change how we relate to each other. And let me unpack that for a moment. Morality, being rooted in our fear of dying, influences the way we view one another, and especially those who we feel threaten our lives, how we view them. And too often we view them as evil. And those who significantly threaten our lives in ways that terrify us the most, those people we deem those to be monsters. And the first step in ridding someone from society really is to villainize them. If we can cease to see someone or a group as human and begin to see them as monsters, then we're well on our way to imagining an existence without them. And these people must be seen to threaten the good, the life of a society. And if they are, then fear drives out compassion, just as perfect love drives out all fear. So tomorrow, millions of children they'll put on masks and they'll put on costumes and they'll go door to door asking for what I think are cheap chocolates and industrially produced sweets. But underneath each a mask, remember, is still a child. And I wonder if there is a deep lesson in this. Could the masks that we see over the faces of those that we fear simply hide children of a divine being, children just like you and I, that need to be humanized in our thinking once again? Whether it's fear of someone of a different culture or a different race than you, whether it's fear of someone from a different economic status than you, fear of a person with a different gender than you, or fear of someone whose orientation and sexuality is different than yours, our challenge is to pull back the mask that we have fixed upon them in our hearts and to see that person as the genuine human being that they are. They are a child, just like you, of God, a sibling of yours within the divine human family. And it takes effort to humanize our monsters, but it's the only by doing so that we can fully embody the value of loving our neighbors as ourselves. And our choices are fear or compassion, death or life. So heart group application this week. This week, I want you to take inventory of the people on this planet that you're afraid of. And they can be specific people or simply types of people. And I want you to actually write down a list. I want you to name your fear this week. And then number two, secondly, I want you to do some research on your similarities with those that you fear. Begin to see them as yourself. The first step of loving your neighbor as yourself is beginning to see them as not much different than yourself. So this may be difficult for some, but I promise it'll be well worth it. Write down 10 ways that those that you're afraid of are actually like you, and where you don't don't differ from them? Where do you not differ from them? And then number three, journal the insights that you gain from this exercise and share your results with your heart group this upcoming week. So we're all children of divinity. We're all siblings of the same divine human family. And our hope, it lies in learning how to sit beside one another at the same family table once again. There are no monsters. There are only people who feel, who love, who hurt, who, just like you, are scared. And everyone has a story. And it's time that we give those that we're afraid of an opportunity to share theirs around the shared table. I want to put a link to a movie this week. I'm going to be talking about it more next week, but a link to a movie in this week's eSight entitled Room Enough at the Table. And you can watch it for 99 cents. So check out the link and take an opportunity to watch that. Again, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. Keep humanizing the monsters. Keep looking underneath the masks that we place on those around us that we're afraid of. And remember, I love each one of you dearly. And thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Thank you once again for listening to this podcast. As I said earlier, Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free. We don't make any money off of our seminars that we do in various local venues, and all of our resources are provided for free online. I have a hard time philosophically charging people money for that which I think Jesus gave to humanity for free. And so we take Jesus' words very seriously. Freely you've received, freely give. Even anything that we receive above our annual budget, we don't keep. We like to pass that on to other charities who are making a difference with the poor in this world. So if you'd like to support Renewed Heart Ministries and the work that we're doing in helping others encounter Jesus, please go to renewedheartministries.com. You can either you can go to renewedheartministries.com/donate, or if you go to just the website, you can click in the upper right the link there that says donate. You can make a one-time gift or become one of our monthly contributors. Every little bit helps. And for those of you who are already supporting us, with all of our hearts, we want to take this opportunity to say thank you. You're the one that's enabling us to share Jesus far and wide all around the globe. Thank you to each one of you for listening once again. As we like to say here at Renewed Heart Ministries, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. Thank each one of you so much.